First off, from the book of Proverbs chapter 29, and then later we'll be reading in Genesis 37. But we're going to start out in Proverbs chapter 29. Oh, yeah, thank you. Let the kids go. I knew he forgot to tell me something. Yes, if you're in Children's Church, you're free to go at this time. And I understand Chuck did a great job last Sunday, so I'm told him I wanted the recording, and I'm anxious to listen to it. Praise God. But we're going to be reading first off in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, and verse 18. I need to get ready for it, though. Proverbs, chapter 29, and verse 18. Read with me, if you will. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, how could I read that this morning? I couldn't. I can see absolutely nothing right now. And let me tell you, you've never looked better. I can see nothing right now. Let me prove it. How many fingers am I holding up? I don't know. So, you see, there are times in our lives when vision gets cloudy, when we can't see the way ahead. There are times when our faith says one thing, but what we see says something else. And there are times where we know God is with us, we know God will never leave us or forsake us, and yet we can't see what He's doing. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. On October 1st, 2011, my family, my son-in-law's family, were gathered at IU Hospital in Indianapolis. Our daughter has gone into premature labor, and as a result, our little granddaughter, Kellen, was born too prematurely to survive. We're sitting in this room holding her for the only time we were going to ever get to. I'm sitting in this rocking chair like this. I'm holding her body in my arms while the Father is holding her spirit in His. You see, what my sight was seeing in that moment was death, despair, agony, helplessness. See, my sight did not like what I was seeing. But I went beyond sight and I went into vision. Because sitting in that rocking chair, holding my granddaughter, I looked up. My sight saw the ceiling, but my vision saw the heavens. I looked up and I said, God, You are still God. Nothing has changed. You have not left me. You have not forsaken me. Your power is just as real right now as it's ever been. My sight is seeing pain and loss and heartache, but my vision is seeing You high and lifted up with Your train filling the temple. My vision is seeing You with elders casting their crowns at Your feet. My vision is seeing the angels around the throne screaming, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. You see, because sight It's what I see, but vision is what God shows me. Vision is what God shows me in the heavenly realms. There is a difference between temporarily losing your sight and allowing the enemy to steal your vision. And I'm saying to Victory Church this morning, do not allow the enemy to steal your vision. Now, I know we're having projector issues, so I will read this. It's in Genesis 37. If there was ever a man who had the right to give up on vision, it was Joseph. I want to read this. Now, Israel, Genesis 37, starting in verse 3. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said to them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and my sheaf rose and stood upright. Behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to mine." And his brethren said to him, "Will you indeed reign over us, or will you have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet even more because of his dreams and for his words. And so he dreamed another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to you on the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And I want to begin by making this point. Joseph did not dream this up on his own. This was not an idea that Joseph concocted in his own mind. We've been guilty of that at times, have we not? This was not one of those times. Joseph, if you will, was minding his own business. And God comes and gives him a God-ordained vision. He was telling Joseph his future in the right now. And I want to say to you, God has given Victory Christian Fellowship a vision for your future here in the right now. God wants to do something in this church, and He's planting the vision right now. I want to ask you this morning, is Victory Christian Fellowship a perfect church? Let me answer the question for you. No, it's not. I know your pastor. For those of you visiting, he's my son, so I'm okay. Is Victory Christian Fellowship a perfect church? Absolutely not. Let me take it a step farther. If you ever find a perfect church, don't go there. The second you get there, it'll stop being perfect. You're welcome. Let me tell you, there is no such thing as a perfect church, and here's why. There's a human being standing behind the pulpit. There are human beings in the chairs or the pews. There's always going to be a bit of the human element involved, which means perfection's not going to happen. But let me tell you what Victory Christian Fellowship is. It is a church made up of people who have gathered together to seek a perfect God, who wants that perfect God to touch their lives so they can go out and touch the community, so that Columbia City can know that Jesus Christ is exactly who He claimed to be and can give them the salvation, the hope, and the healing that they need. He wants to accomplish that through you. And you see, that's what makes this church special, is because you guys know the power of the Holy Spirit. You guys know what it is to get in touch with the throne of heaven. You guys know what it is to seek after God and stay there until you find Him. You guys know what it is to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You know what it is to see the demonic people set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is what is needed in this community. And He wants to do it through you. He's giving this church a vision of your future. And that future is an awesome future. But I want you to understand something. It's a long scripture. It's found in Genesis 37 if you want to read it. Joseph received these dreams, and this is huge. Stick with me here. Joseph received the dream, you're going to be a ruler. Then he received another dream, you're going to be a ruler. And what's the first thing that happened after he received that dream? His brothers sold him into slavery. Hear me on this, folks. Do not be surprised when you get a promise from God if the first thing that happens is the exact opposite of what the promise said. If you want proof that you got a prophetic word and it really came from God, if you're seeing the exact opposite happen, there's a good chance it was God. When my wife and I started going to Northview Assembly of God, no doubt, zero doubt, none, nil, nada, no doubt. We were in the center of God's will. We were doing what God wanted us to do. The first thing that happened, I go to my mailbox. I open up a letter from the Office of Personnel Management where I get my postal disability pension. And it says, starting next month, there is going to be a change in how much your pension is. It is not going up. It's going down. $900 a month. I don't know about you all, but $900 a month, that'll buy me a meal or two. It's like, and I don't know about you guys, but when I get situations like that, there's a part of me that's still human that wants to look up and says, hey, I think we got a deal here. You say, I read the word of God and it says, by his stripes I'm healed. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Why did the doctor's report say I'm getting worse? You said you would never leave me, you would never forsake me. Why do I feel so alone? You see, the trick of the enemy, when you get a word from the Lord, watch the exact opposite start happening. What happened to Joseph? He gets a word from the Lord. You are going to rule. What happens in his life? The very people he's supposed to rule over sell him into slavery. He ends up in Egypt. Now catch this. He's in Egypt, and what happens to him? He's sold into Potiphar's house. Potiphar sees something in Joseph. And what's Joseph start doing? Ruling. Hang on. His circumstances changed. His calling didn't. And we all know the story. Potiphar's wife had eyes for him. She made passes. He said no. She accuses him of attempted rape. He gets arrested and thrown in prison. Another God, I thought we had a deal moment. What happens when he gets in prison? The leader of the prison sees something on him. And what happens with Joseph? He starts ruling in the prison. You can change your circumstance, but you can't change your calling. Now, here's something huge that we need to get into our hearts right now. What other people see as failure, God sees as training ground. If anybody had the right to call his life a failure, it would have been Joseph. Betrayed by his family, sold as a slave, accused of a felony that he did not commit, in a low, dark prison. And yet, what's he doing? Fulfilling his God-given dream. He's saying, okay, if I'm supposed to rule, I better learn how to rule. You see, Joseph couldn't rule all of Egypt until he learned how to rule a small group. And you may be in a position right now where you may be saying, God, why aren't you advancing me? Well, you've got a little more to learn. Before you can rule over Egypt, you've got to learn how to rule in Potiphar's house. Before you rule over Egypt, you've got to learn how to deal in a prison. You see, God has got you guys on a journey right now. You haven't arrived to where he wants to take this church, but you're in a process right now. Your circumstance may not be where you want it to be, but your calling has not changed. The power of God is going to flow through this church. He's going to flow through you, not just Sundays here, but in every day of your life out there, around people that need to hear it. He wants to use you, and you're in training ground right now. What sight sees is defeat, vision sees is training ground. And you see, sometimes, I wasn't going to share this, but I think I will. Sometimes when we don't see instantaneous results, we think, well, either I blew it or something went wrong. Let me tell you something that happened last year at Northview. I don't remember I've shared this with you before, but if I did, I'm going to repeat it. We had a man in our church that was having back issues. And one Sunday morning, we were doing like you did here during music. Everybody comes up front and we're all worshiping. And I was walking around and the Lord pressed on me to pray for him. And I didn't know his specifics. All I knew was he had back issues. So I went and I prayed for him and put one hand on his head and the other hand I put on his back. And that's when I felt a back brace. That was the first time I knew he was wearing one. And I prayed for him. And some others around prayed for him. And I want to be honest, I felt absolutely nothing. You know, I've heard people talk about, I felt fire in my hands. You know, I felt nothing like that. It's like, okay. And then he felt nothing. Nothing happened. He didn't fall. He didn't cry. He didn't, you know, nothing like that. But I just said, I think God's going to touch you. And that was the end of it. That was on a Sunday. I did not know this. The previous Wednesday, he was at an orthopedic specialist who told him, you have 8 herniated discs and another disc that is torn. We cannot operate on you. All we can do is give you pain meds and help you deal with the pain. That was on the Wednesday before. Sunday, we pray for him. Nothing happens. The following Wednesday, he goes back to the specialist. And they do an MRI. And in this MRI, they take 2 different images. And they come, then they bring the images in, and the doctor's looking at them. And she's standing there, they say, with... Because in the first image, all 8 hernias and the tear are all still there. They took a second image, and 6 of the 8 hernias were gone. God does not heal on an MRI table. There's only one problem. He did. Now, I told you that story because that Sunday morning, I felt nothing. I saw nothing. He felt nothing. He saw nothing. But that doesn't mean God's not doing anything. Don't go by sight. Go by vision. Don't go by what you can see. Go by what God shows you and what God tells you in the Word of God. And it was amazing to me. And then 2 days later, we had a Friday night outpouring. Another man was there. He had been doing some scaffolding work on a house outside, and he fell off the second floor of the scaffold. Messed his back up. We lay hands on him, pray for him. Instantaneously, he's doing this. I feel great. And I happen to think, why did God heal him instantaneously and take this other guy and make him wait 3 days and then heal him in the middle of an MRI? Let me give you a deeply theological answer to that question. I don't know. What I do know is this. He's God. His power is true. There's power in the name of Jesus, and he moves how he decides to. But when you release the healing power, his power flows and will touch your life. When you release the word of God in your community, Columbia City can be changed by the power of God. Don't let the enemy steal your vision this morning. And I want to wrap this up by sharing this with you, and I find this so interesting in this story. What did Joseph's brothers say? we're going to sell him into slavery. And these are their exact words. We will see what becomes of his dreams. Who was among the first that needed his dreams to be fulfilled? His brothers. They were like, we'll sell him. Here they come. 20 pieces of silver. We'll tell his dad he was killed by a wild beast. They can take him off into Egypt. We'll see what becomes of his dreams. In the meantime, God says, yes, we will. Yes, we will. And I get a sense that the enemy may be saying to some of you this morning, we'll see what becomes of all of those promises. Because I want you to picture Joseph this morning. Imagine he's sitting right here. And imagine I'm the enemy. And see if you can relate to Joseph in this. So you're going to rule, Joseph, are you? God says you're going to rule? Let me do a little work in your brothers. We'll let them sell you as a slave. Then we'll see what becomes of your dreams. Oh. You're going to end up in Potiphar's house? Oh, that's a big gun there, bro. I'm paraphrasing. You're going to be in... Oh, and he's making you a ruler? Ooh. You know what? I think one little lie can change all of this. You see, I'm the father of lies. One little lie, and you'll go to prison, Joseph. And then you can rule in prison, Joseph. Oh, you get to prison and you still find favor because God's with you? We'll just leave you here a while, Joseph. Wait a minute. What are you doing standing before Pharaoh? What are you doing being made number two man in all of Egypt? The enemy has just been silenced. Because when God places a call, he fulfills it. When God puts a Joseph dream in your heart, that dream will become reality. And I want Victory Christian Fellowship to understand this morning that sometimes what you see is not going to match your promise. There are going to be times when the Word of God says, my God will supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. And you find yourself rubbing two nickels together because you don't want to lose them. You can't afford to. There are going to be times where the Word of God tells you you're healed and your body's trying to tell you otherwise. There are going to be times where you know that family member or that friend is this close to giving their lives to Christ, but yet the surroundings are telling you the exact opposite. What I'm saying to you this morning, to wrap this entire message up in a simple sentence, it's this. Don't go by your sight. Go by your God-given vision. Don't let the vision die. God wants to do something in this church. God wants to do something in your life. Do not let the enemy kill your vision. He can temporarily alter your sight, but he can't stop the vision. He did everything he could to derail Joseph and keep him out of Egypt. And what did Joseph say to his brothers? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And now I'm saving lives because God's vision became my reality. And I'm wanting you to understand this morning, God's vision is going to become your reality. The people that you thought in Columbia City will never get saved, you can see them up here giving their lives to Christ, getting filled with the Holy Spirit, because God's visions don't die. Step up, believe, reach out in faith and believe for God to do the miraculous in this place. Can you do that this morning? Stand with me if you would. Lift your hands and lift your voices.